Hey there, and welcome to the Digital Nomad Life podcast. I'm your host, Krista, also known as Kristabella Travels on Instagram, and also known as a founder of the Digital Nomad Life Academy, which is my business where I help people become digital nomads, even if they have no experience, even if they're starting from scratch, especially when they're starting from scratch. Those people are my soft spots because I have a knack and a passion for helping people discover what is unique about them and what is a skill set that they can leverage to actually work online. So if you're in that situation and you want to become a digital nomad, slide into my DMs and let me know. This episode, however, is not about career. It's actually about the lifestyle of being a digital nomad. And I want to talk all about how I choose my destinations as a nomad, how I've been choosing my destinations for the past, drumroll, 10 years. These 65 countries that I have been to. And when I say I've been to 65 countries, there's so many places that I've repeated. I'm currently sitting in my room in Buenos Aires, Argentina, which is my second trip here. I just got back from my fifth trip to Brazil. I think I've been to Spain like 4 times, Italy 2 or 3 times, been living in Bali for 4 years. I lived in Thailand for 2 years. I've been to Singapore multiple times. Basically, what I'm saying is like, I've been around the globe multiple times. And how do I choose my destinations? If I've been to Canary Islands, why have I been there so many times? And how should you choose your destinations if and when you become a digital nomad? So let's get into it. For me, choosing my destinations really depends on so many different factors. And it is just kind of like very flexible to me. And I think that I'm going to do my best to give you some practical, actionable advice. But honestly, it really does come down to what's happening on any given month and who am I going to be able to hang out with and what am I going to see and how easy is it going to be to get there. So, you know, I've been a nomad for 10 years now. And at this point, I know nomads all around the world. And I'll tell you how I met those nomads all around the world in a minute. But at the beginning of my nomad journey, like back when I first started and I really didn't know anybody, I was purely going off of my desire. I was going off of my bucket list. I don't know if you ever heard the first episode of this podcast, but I talk about how and why I made my bucket list back in 2009. It was actually after a near-death experience that I had that really just shook me to my core and really made me think like, wow, the fact that I'm alive right now is a huge bonus. And I might not be alive. I might become unalive at any minute. Who knows? So how can I make the most out of my life? And if I were to die next week, like what would I like to do this week? Or what would I like to do to fill up my time? So I really encourage you, by the way, to make a bucket list. For me, my bucket list has been the biggest guiding factor in my entire life. And when I first became a nomad and I was like, cool, all of a sudden I have an abundance of freedom and of time and the world is my oyster. Where do I want to go? I looked at my bucket list and I thought, oh, wow. Well, Carnival in Brazil is coming up. And I happened to be in, I think I was in Ecuador at the time. And I was like, you know, Brazil, it's like not super close. It's not like right there. But then at the same time, it is kind of right there. It's like the bordering country. So let's just spend the money and get over to Rio so that I can do Carnival there. So having the bucket list was really the thing that motivated my traveling at first. And it's where my most rewarding travel experiences have come from. They're things that I just always dreamed of being there. And my dreams are going to be different from your dreams. You know, like, what do you dream about? I had one client that I worked with who just was always dreaming of Vienna. He loved going to the opera and the ballet. And Vienna is just such a cultural capital for the fine arts. And he became a nomad because he really wanted to spend more time in Vienna. For me personally, Vienna hasn't really called to me. Places that call to me are more places where the culture is rich and vibrant and I'll be able to learn something about humanity or history. So for me, also, I think getting to know my values, like what do I love about traveling and where can I find the richest bits of those things that I love when I do travel? And then, of course, you want to be really good at geography or at least have a map available to look at all times. And luckily, you have a phone with access to the internet, so you can always be looking at a map too. And I think that for me, at the beginning of my nomad journey, I stayed in a lot of hostels. So hostels are great because you basically get built-in friendships. So when you are working and traveling remotely as a digital nomad, you're going to be working for a large majority of your week. Like if you're like a normal person, you might be working anywhere between 20 and 50 hours a week on your laptop. So you're going to be traveling around, and especially if you're traveling by yourself, then you're going to want to make sure that you have the ability to socialize as well. So when you're spending so much time in front of your laptop, all those hours that you could be investing into, you know, building up your community in any specific place are not as abundant to you. So when you stay in a hostel, literally what I used to do is I would work from my laptop in the common area. And yeah, once in a while, people would bother me and they'd say, oh, what are you working on? But then I'd tell them, and then I'd say, yeah, but I'd love to get dinner later, or I'd love to get lunch later. And then I meet people that way and hang out with them. And the thing is, when you meet other travelers, when you meet other backpackers, some of my best destinations ever have come from just talking to other backpackers, people that I met in a hostel. Literally, one of my favorite travel experiences ever was way back at the beginning of my nomad journey, when the very first place I ever was a nomad was in Costa Rica. So I was staying in a hostel in Costa Rica, and then, you know, I met a bunch of people there, and they were like, oh, we're all leaving tomorrow. And I'm like, guys, where are you going? And they're like, we're going to Nicaragua for the Sunday Funday party. And I was like, wait, what's in Nicaragua? Like, I never considered going to Nicaragua. And they were like, yeah, it's just a hop across the border. Come with us. So I did. And I ended up staying in Nicaragua for a month. And to this day, it's still one of the most magical trips I've ever taken, because it was so spontaneous. And I was just hanging out with all these really fun, cool, life-loving people that I met in the hostel. And that's how I ended up spending a month in Nicaragua. So to summarize, so far we've got have your bucket list and just dream of where would you love to go, and then start going to those places, but stay in hostels so that you can meet other backpackers that can turn you on to nearby cool destinations. So that's really just at the beginning of your nomad journey, when the world is your oyster, you don't know any people, and there are no events or any specific reason to go anywhere. But something else that I think is really important is actually getting to know other digital nomads and letting the community guide your nomad destinations as well. Personally, I believe that the nomad lifestyle is absolutely not sustainable if you don't have a bunch of nomad friends, if you don't have a community to tap into. It can honestly get pretty lonely being a digital nomad if you are constantly having to meet new people. So when you can drop into a community and you start to see familiar faces in different places around the world, that really helps you feel super nourished in that community aspect of your life, which is, by the way, an absolute fundamental need for humans. Humans need love and connection and community. I'm going to do another episode pretty soon on nomad relationships, but it is important to know that whether it's a romantic relationship or just a friendship, you must prioritize relationships in your life if you want any aspect of your life to be sustainable. It's just like when you have a job, right? Like if you don't like your coworkers, you're going to be pretty miserable at that job. And if one of your friends ever offered you a gig at their company, like you'd probably jump all over it if the price was right, because it's just better to be spending time with people you actually like. So dropping into the nomad community is super important. A few episodes ago, I made a whole podcast episode all about the nomad cruise, which is my personal favorite way of developing a digital nomad community. The Nomad Cruise, in short, is a conference at sea. It happens about 2 times per year, and it is a cruise ship that usually goes across the Atlantic, or actually the one coming up in September is going from Vancouver, Canada to Alaska, and then finishing in Japan. And basically, there's going to be about 300 digital nomads on this cruise ship, meeting each other, learning from each other, offering skill shares and workshops and exchanges for the days at sea. And then once everybody gets off the boat in Japan, everybody's a nomad and nobody has to go home. So they're all going to be like, cool, do you want to go to Tokyo or Kyoto? And how long do we want to stay in Japan? Oh, I have an Airbnb. Does anybody want to stay in my Airbnb? Oh, I'm missing an accommodation. Does anybody have an extra room? And it's going to be like that. And it's so fun. And usually on every single nomad cruise, at least half the participants are alumni or people that have done multiple before. For me personally, I've done like 5 nomad cruises, and this one in September will be my 6th. So I'm a huge fan, guaranteed. You and I could probably hang out on the boat as well if you do come, and you'll get to meet all my friends and the other digital nomads. And once you're tapped into the nomad community, there's like, yeah, everybody that's on the actual boat, but then also anybody else that's ever done a nomad cruise before, you're in a WhatsApp group and a Facebook group with all of them as well. So at any point in time after the cruise, let's say you leave the cruise and now you want to go to Sri Lanka and you don't know anybody in Sri Lanka, you're just going to pop it in the Facebook chat or the WhatsApp group or whatever and say, hey guys, does anybody want to go to Sri Lanka? And I guarantee you that there will be at least one or two other nomads from the cruise that are going to say, yeah, I want to go to Sri Lanka. Like, let's link up or let's co-work one day, or maybe we can even share an Airbnb together. And that's also going to be a way that you can save a lot of money as a nomad by sharing accommodation and sharing costs and stuff. So I can't recommend the Nomad Cruise. I will put a discount code where you can get anywhere between $100 and $500 off on the next cruise if you use my code Christabella Trav. I think the word travels didn't fit in the discount code box. So anyway, use my discount code and come on the Nomad Cruise and use that as a way to determine your next route. So for me, I know that in the fall, I will be going to Japan because the cruise is going to Japan, and I will prioritize the cruise because I prioritize community when it comes to choosing my destinations. But also Japan is way high up on my bucket list. So it's just a win-win-win. And also I'm going to go to Bali after because I love Bali and it's really nice for me to have a base somewhere. And that leads me to my next point, which is having a base. Something that I really want to clarify and emphasize and drive home is that if you are a digital nomad, that does not mean that you have to live out of a suitcase for 365 days a year. I recommend doing that maybe for like 1 year. I ended up doing it for 4 years, which was really cool, so fun. I literally didn't have a home. Literally, my home was my suitcase. And it was a very rewarding chapter of my life. And also, I feel very comfortable that that chapter of my life is over. It doesn't mean that I don't travel. Like I shared at the beginning of this episode, I'm literally in Argentina right now. I'm about to go to Antarctica in a few days. I was just in Brazil. I might go back to Brazil. I might go to Colombia. I'm not really sure. But eventually, I will go to Bali and I'll spend like 5 months there. And just because I'm spending 5 months at a time in Bali, does that mean that I'm not a nomad because I spend like 5 to 10 months in Bali every year? No, like I'm still a nomad just because I'm based there. So you can still get a lease in your home country. You can still get a lease in your country of choice, and you're still a digital nomad, even if you are, quote, based somewhere. Even if you're not living out of your suitcase all year, even if you're just taking a 2-week trip like every 3 months, you still are a nomad. To me, the thing that makes you a nomad is just the mere fact that you can. The fact that you can say yes, that you can go travel if you want to, that there is no other person outside of you that's telling you no. If someone else is telling you no, you can't go there, you have to come to the office hybrid for 1 day a week or whatever, you are not a nomad because you are tethered to a destination. When you are untethered to a destination, you are a nomad. Even if you have a lease, to me, that does not count as a tether because you can always find someone to sublease. And if your contract says that you can't sublease, I guarantee you that if you actually have a conversation with your landlord and give them a reason to say yes, like for example, maybe they'll get to make a little bit more money, or you're going to interview the person that's staying in your apartment that you've leased or whatever, there's always a way out. something that I talk about with my clients a lot is that the digital nomad mindset is also a pretty important thing to keep in mind, because when you're a digital nomad, you're living outside of the normal rules of society. If you're like my dad, for example, you might think that that makes you sound super entitled, but I don't care. You know what? Like, you are living outside of the rules because you're making your own rules. A lot of rules of society are unwritten cultural societal pressures. They're not actually literal rules, and therefore you can bend them. You don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. You don't want to hurt anyone. You don't want to break the law. You don't want to do things that are unethical or completely out of integrity. But for example, like, yeah, maybe you signed a contract that says you can't sublease. That's not stopping you from having a conversation with your landlord, right? It's not preventing you from having a negotiation with your landlord. Just make sure that you untether yourself, and then you will be free, and then you can say yes to whatever it is that you want. You can always find a dog sitter, which is what I do because I have a dog in Bali as well. And just because I have a dog, that doesn't mean that I'm not a nomad. So anyway, that is the next step, right? Is developing that community and letting your community help guide you to your next destination. The final thing that I want to say about how to choose a digital nomad destination is also to get really clear on what it is that you value in your daily routine and choose destinations that are accommodating to that routine. So, for example, I love going to the gym. I love going to the beach. I love historical things. So when I choose a destination, if I find a place that has a beach and a nice gym and there's some history there, for me, I'm like, ding, 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 jackpot. That's where I want to go. Or if you really want to try surfing, for example, there was a while where I was hooked on the dream of becoming a surfer. Oh my gosh, Blue Crush inspired me so bad when I was 12. And I just, really wanted to always be a surfer. So therefore, I always was looking up surfing destinations for digital nomads or surf destinations with great Wi-Fi. Make sure that there's great Wi-Fi. That's another thing that you really want to make sure that you have access to when you are a nomad. Always, always, always research the Wi-Fi before you rock up to a destination. Luckily, Wi-Fi is becoming increasingly more and more accessible everywhere. On the last nomad cruise that I did, I was literally in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and had Wi-Fi because of Starlink. So it's almost like not even an issue anymore, but I just do recommend, you know, asking for a speed test before you book an Airbnb, for example. So yeah, I think that is the thing. When you're a digital nomad, you can prioritize whatever the F you want. If you want to prioritize a sunset walk every day of your life, you can. For me, that is a huge thing for me. Like, I always choose places where I can have a nice walk around sunset. And that's why I really like beach destinations, because that's what I want to prioritize, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or whatever day or month or whatever. I want to see that sunset. And therefore, that helps me choose destinations, because that's simply what I prioritize in my life, a little sunset chaser. And you can be a sunset chaser too. You can be a powder chaser. You want to go skiing or snowboarding like at any time of the year? You actually can do that, because the earth is a sphere. And when it's winter in one hemisphere, it's summer in the other, and vice versa. So if you just always want to be in the snow, you actually can do that too. Just tune in to who you are, what you love to do, and open up your mind to the possibilities of being a digital nomad and really understanding that the world is your oyster when you are untethered. Just don't forget about your community, and don't forget about your income. That is another thing too. Final thing that I want to say is that if you don't have an income while you're traveling, you're not a nomad. You're just a backpacker. Ooh, burn. Sorry if you listen to the whole thing and you're like, oh yeah, I'm a digital nomad because I don't have a job. Well, if you're not making any money, you're not a nomad. So if you've listened to this whole episode and you're just foaming at the mouth, dying to become a digital nomad, dying to have this kind of level of freedom where you could be someone someday talking about how you traveled to 65 countries and lived out of your suitcase for 4 years, just like I did, you can. In my last episode, I have a whole 30-minute rant just like this, where I'm talking about how to become a digital nomad, even if you have absolutely no experience, no education, no money, like there is no excuse. It's definitely easier and faster to become a digital nomad when you're able to invest in having someone support and guide you, when you're able to invest in having a community to tap into. Like my program, for example, when you join my program, the Digital Nomad Life Academy, you get access to hundreds of other nomads that have come through my program that are all totally the vibe. Like, I think for me, what I love about my program the most is that the people that are in it are such nice, kind, loving people. They're just people that are willing to do personal development work, because so much about what I talk about is personal development. So much about what I talk about is shadow work and mindset. I like, you know, throw in a lot of little spiritual elements. I talk about the universe. So it's just people that come to me, people that are drawn to me. They are big dreamers. They love traveling. They love the universe. They believe in the universe. They believe in becoming the highest level version of themselves. And they're all here to do the freaking work, becoming the next level version of themselves as digital nomad entrepreneurs. And when everybody is like that, oh my gosh, the synergy, the energy, the vibration on these group calls, which happen every single week, by the way, is just worth its weight in gold. So come on in to the Digital Nomad Life Academy. Feel free to send me a DM on Instagram and let me know that you heard this podcast. You can actually use the keyword Starter Codes Podcast. That's the keyword that I used in the last episode. And I'll give you a discount code to purchase my mini course, which teaches you how to choose a digital nomad career. Because if you're listening to this podcast, I'm guessing you might not be very established as a nomad. If you are a nomad, amazing, but you're probably not yet. So if you're not, just make sure that you DM me there again at Christabella Travels on Instagram with that keyword, Starter Codes Podcast, and I'll send you some cheeky discount codes and you can join the community. We can hang out. Maybe I'll meet you on the Nomad Cruise. Maybe I'll see you in Bali. Maybe I'll see you somewhere else in the world. Who knows? Japan, Ecuador, Nicaragua, Brazil, Argentina, Antarctica, wherever it is. Who knows? I really feel like digital nomads are balls in a pinball machine. And it's like they just all bing, 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 bing. They're going their own direction, but ultimately they intersect. So chances are, if you become a digital nomad, you and I will have an opportunity to meet at some point. So make sure that you keep in touch, that you follow along. And I hope that I see you out there somewhere in the world. And until then, I'll see you in the next episode. Thanks for listening. Bye.